Well, friends, we come now to that point in the service where we fence the Lord's table. The fencing is that distinction that we make between those whose place is at the Lord's table among his people, remembering his death till he come, and those for whom it is not as yet the place for them. Now, as we ponder that, it may help us if we read some verses in the book of Exodus, in chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, and we'll read a number of verses from verse 31, where we have actually the words of Pharaoh, first of all. Exodus 12 and at verse 31, "And he," that is Pharaoh, "called for Moses and Aaron by night, and said, Rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they have said, We be all dead men. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required. And they spoiled the Egyptians, and the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot, that were men beside children," and so on. We trust God to bless his word as we read it. Now, in light of what I said a moment ago about the purpose of the fencing of the Lord's table, you may be questioning in your mind what the verses we just read have to do with the Lord's table. There is no table here, although there is not that far off in the background a Passover lamb, and I'll come to that in a moment. But in the Exodus from Egypt, we have a picture of the deliverance of God's people from the bondage of sin into the liberty that is afforded them in Christ. It's not a perfect picture, but it is a picture nevertheless. And it is one on which we can draw, and from which we can draw, much that is of profit. Who is a sacrament for? Well, can I suggest five things very quickly? First of all, it is for those who came to understand that they were in bondage. The children of Israel, and Moses among them, came to understand that their state in Egypt was one of bondage. They were not there in liberty. They were there, and there they would live and die in an utterly miserable condition. Now, men and women in this world, blinded by sin and Satan, persuade themselves and are easily persuaded that they are free. But free is the last thing that they are. They are in bondage. That is the very nature of sin. And child of God, you came by one means or another to realize that you were also in bondage. You came to realize that you needed the liberty of Christ to set you free from the power and the penalty of the law and of sin and its claims upon you. The sacrament is for those who have come to understand that they were in bondage. It is not for those who have no understanding of these things and no appreciation of them in any personal way. Secondly, it is for those who have cried to God for deliverance in their bondage. That is what the Lord did. That is what Israel were led to do. He says to Moses that he had heard the cry of his people. And they did cry to him. And he came down to visit them. That's the language that's used. And he comes down at length to deliver them, raising up a Moses who would lead them out, and ultimately a Joshua who would lead them in. Well, you came to understand that you were in bondage, but that wasn't the end. That was only the beginning. Because you were led to cry to the Lord for deliverance from the bondage of sin and Satan. The fetters you had, they were unbreakable. You tried to break them. I'm sure you tried to break them. You tried to order your life. And I spoke about that a little yesterday. But you came to realize that old Adam was too strong, to paraphrase somebody else. How is it that Psalm 107 puts it? Such as shut up in darkness deep and in death's shade abide. Oh, you say, that was me. Verse 11, because against the words of God they wrought rebelliously. Oh, that was me. I was in chains and I was making my chains the worse. Their heart he did bring down with grief. They fell, no help could have. Oh, that was me. In trouble then they cried to God. He them from straits to save. He out of darkness did them bring, and from death shade them take. So I'm getting ahead of myself. Who is the sacrament for? It was for those who came to understand that they were in bondage. It's for those who cried out to the Lord for deliverance in their bondage. And it's for those, thirdly, who experienced deliverance in their own lives. He out of darkness did them bring, and from death's shade them take. These bands wherewith they had been bound, asunder quite he break, breaking the power of sin, breaking the hold that it had on you. For if the Son shall make you free, then are you free indeed. He comes preaching liberty to the captives. Once these people were slaves in Egypt, but now it's behind them. And so you say, once I was a slave, but now that's behind me. I'm not what I would like to be and what I would wish to be, but it is by the grace of God that I am what I am. These folk that escaped from Egypt, what a change in their circumstances. What a change. And what a change in your circumstances. What a change you've wrought in your life. That great change of regeneration. A new heart, a new mind, a new life. Fourthly, it's for those who have come to realize that their deliverance was purchased and sealed with blood. At the heart of their deliverance was the Passover lamb. We see that in chapter 12 there, and I think it's verses 11 and 13. You shall eat it in haste, it is the Lord's Passover, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite the firstborn in the land of Egypt. And the blood shall be to you for a token. When I see the blood, I will pass over. And so it was for you. He has seen the blood and he has passed over. For it is sprinkled on you. How are you set free? By the death of Christ. That's how you're set free. Your deliverance is purchased and sealed with blood. They would look at the blood. They would say, that's my liberty. That's my freedom. You look at the blood. For we are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. A lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. So who is the sacrament for? It's for those who have come to understand they were in bondage, who cry to God for deliverance from their bondage, who experienced that deliverance, and who experienced that deliverance because of blood. And it's for those whose back is now to Egypt, and whose face is toward Canaan. Oh, they didn't get it all right as they made their way. They got many such things wrong. But Egypt was behind them. And Canaan was before them. And so it is for you. Egypt is behind you. And Canaan is before you. And so you remember the Lord's death till he come. Because his death is what has given you all of that. And more besides. That's who the sacrament is for. For a redeemed people. Redeemed by blood. A transformed people. Who have left the old and been brought into the new. All things are passed away. Behold, he has made all things new. Well, we read these words that are familiar to us in Galatians chapter 5. This I say then, reading at verse 16. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh, the works of Egypt, the ways of Egypt, are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith or faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And again, we trust the Lord to follow with his blessing that reading of his word.